If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had a bit of a chat, Charlie.
A lot of chat.
The listeners got involved.
They did indeed.
We did have a chat with Sutton United striker Craig Dundas. He told us about his chance to play league football after many years.
40 years old, making his debut in the league. Still time, but there's no time, Paul.
No time for us. Our ship has sailed. We had a birthday spread for you, didn't we? Which was very exciting.
Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to let people not know how it went. Yes.
Okay.
Very exciting, Paul.
And Josh Widdicombe joined us in the studio.
He was excellent.
Chat about all matters, mainly 90s TV. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm a bit nervous. Not nervous today. Mm-hmm. I've got a gig tonight at the Comedy Store, London.
Oh, lovely.
All,
great.
All weekend.
You're compere, MC, aren't you?
MCing all weekend. Very, very good lineup all weekend.
Brilliant, yeah.
Which is always nice, isn't it? And, you know, I've been working at TalkSport for a while now. Mm. And the management have chosen this evening, Paul, to come and see me live on stage.
Ah.
Never seen me before. So this could be it. So it's been lovely working with you.
Are you feeling the pressure of that a bit, Charlie?
Well, not really. Not the pressure of being funny, Paul. I'm happy to go do that.
Yeah.
The pressure is, as the MC, your job is to control the room and to keep any sort of rabble-rousers quiet. I just feel like if they're leaving work at 5 o'clock, show didn't start till 8, they're all going out together.
Yeah.
You know what works dues are like, Paul.
Yeah. So they'll get there, they'll be bluted before they get
there. They might be before they get there, you know.
Yeah.
So and then what am I supposed to do? Slam down Lee Clayton.
Yeah, you can't,
boss of TalkSport.
You can't be doing if you're getting heckled by the by our bosses.
Exactly. What am I supposed to do?
Isn't it? Who are you, mate? You can't turn on
I can't. What am I supposed to do? It's one of my, you know, heckle put downs.
It's difficult. I know you've got a few. Anyway,
it's a disaster.
Which is why we're interested to know about tales of seeing your gaffer outside of work. And how did that pan out for you? Because, you know, sometimes the last person you want to see when you've had a few is probably your boss.
Exactly.
Especially
yeah.
maybe when they're stone cold sober. So if you've got tales of that, seeing the gaffer, seeing management outside of work and the hilarious consequences of that.
Small talking is sort of, you know, in a Sainsbury's aisle or something like that. Must be terrible, eggy.
It could be an ex-boss even, couldn't
just
it?
Just been sacked that day.
Yeah.
So then you see him in your Wetherspoons.
You run into him again. So do let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Cristiano Ronaldo's on the move. He's moving from one mansion to another. This is because he and his family have been kept awake by sheep. They're in very open countryside, and the sheep are keeping them all awake.
This drives me mad, Paul. As a countryside person, right? This drives me mad. It's like people who move next door to music venues and sorry, one of the bosses there now.
Yeah.
The P45.
They're taking that with them tonight.
They're even making signs to take tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
People who move next door to music venues and then complain that it's noisy and get the music venue shut down. It's very like this in the countryside. People move to the countryside and go, oh, the air smells.
Yeah.
What's that smell in the air? Well, you've moved to the countryside. This is what you wanted. So Ronaldo moaning about sheep barring.
It's probably the kids. The kids getting into bed early because you know what it's like when they're at that age. They sort of get in, you can't sleep, they sleep sideways,
yeah,
kicking you. He's thinking, I can't be doing with this. I'll just move to another mansion.
Yeah, if you want to get kicked in the balls, have a child.
Yeah. You're on your Ranger t-shirt.
Yeah, happens an awful lot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, why do, in their own beds, of course, they will sleep straight
absolutely
down.
Fine.
They get into yours and they'll sleep across it.
Like a starfish.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly that. Yeah, so anyway, we won't open with that, child. Just the first 5 minutes of your set.
Yes,
is it?
I've done
kids
it.
Kids in bed.
They've heard it.
They're going to say, yeah, heard it. You did it on the show. They're going to be doing that later on. So do let us know what kept you awake at night, within reason, obviously.
Animal stories as well. Think of the time of day.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ with that, and tales of meeting the gaffer outside of work and the egginess of that situation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Did you watch any football last night, Charlie?
I watched the Liverpool game, which was phenomenal. What a brilliant game.
I made a call. I watched the first half of Liverpool, which was good, but then I saw there was a lot of goals in some of the other games, and they were delicately poised. So I did go goal show.
And I
was kind of rewarded because they did flit around. I only saw a lot more Liverpool goals, but I saw a lot of City goals, including Grealish's absolute corker.
Absolute belter, yeah. Well, I learned my lesson from that on Monday Night Football because I turned off at half-time when it was 0-0. I thought, this has got 0-0 written all over it. And then, of course, it was 3-1 in the second half, which I completely missed.
But the Liverpool game was just so exciting. I think they were
really
saying there
good.
Was 28 second-half goals in the six matches last night. It's ridiculous.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. It just went a bit mad. I don't know if it stands up. Maybe I've got that horribly wrong. That sounds far too many. But it was amazing in terms of the... But apart from PSG, who couldn't score, of course.
Nothing. Yeah. What do you think of Klopp saying about Divock Origi, saying we couldn't sell him, no one came in and offered anything for him, so
maybe he's
one of these great motivators,
not
you know.
What he's worth, maybe.
I wonder what they think he's worth.
He's the sort of player you know he obviously wanted more game time and wanted to go, but if he didn't, he's the sort of player you want to keep around. He always has a bit of an impact when he comes on, unfortunately from my point of view, in Madrid, of course.
Yes.
Killing off what little chance we had left of getting back into it. So, do get in touch this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSHNJ. We're going to be joined by Josh Widdicombe a little bit later on. He has written, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life. It's kind of part memoir, sort of told through the TV that he grew up on. Because maybe the one thing you know about Josh is that he went to a school in a very quiet village, and where they had four kids. Was it four other kids?
Well, he's from a place called Haytor Vale, which is even more remote than where I grew up. We both grew up in Devon. And where he grew up is proper moors, and his dad's a proper farmer. So he's proper moors, proper, you know. I can't say what I was about to say.
No. We think we knew where you were going.
You knew what I meant.
Think there's a Scottishism that
that's why he supports Plymouth, and not Torquay.
So,
but these memoirs that are good now, and they find a way to do it so they can sell another book further down the line.
What, the ultimate memoir then?
This, you know.
Well, that was my TV memoir. Yeah. This, of course, is my sports memoir.
Exactly.
But there are some fantastic pictures of Josh in there, including a prize he won when he was 8 years old for his prize-winning vegetable insect.
Yeah.
So he will explain more when he joins us a little bit later.
That's
on.
Like an Xbox in Haytor Vale.
Yeah. It's basically a potato that he stuck sort of matchsticks in, but got a prize for it, though.
Exactly.
Got a prize for it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, as you'll know, Charlie, to your cost, Sutton United were promoted from
your Paul.
Beloved conference.
I don't follow the conference, so I don't. Oh, I do, don't I? Yeah, I forgot that.
Sadly, your team, Torquay, didn't make it, but Sutton were.
They were very good, Paul, all season. Yeah, they were very, very good team. Very strong team all season. Well done to them.
We chatted to our old mate Tim Vine. He was obviously delighted. It didn't stop you disgracing yourself in the Sutton director's box when you went there, did it, really?
Well, no, I did not disgrace myself. I was kindly invited to watch Sutton v Torquay, which Torquay won 1-0 with a late Acer Hall header, and I had like full sort of bite me fist sort of celebration. And but they were very good all season, and they managed to stay at the top, and they were very, very good because they had players like Craig Dundas who were just good, very, very good, solid footballers.
Well, Craig had not played much like Sutton in the Football League for Sutton. He probably thought his chance had gone, but some fitness issues, which is strange because he's the fitness coach, and the virus and other things basically conspired to allow him to play a league game, which must have been fantastic. 40 years, 207 days, 567 games for the club, and he got his chance to play in the Football League. A nice story, it happened last weekend. Craig joined us now. Good afternoon, Craig.
Good afternoon.
We wondered if you'd nobbled a few of them to to get a game, but you wouldn't do that, would you?
I owe a few 20s here and there to get me in this weekend. So, yeah, I'm a little bit down on money this weekend. So, yeah.
But it must have. So what actually happened? Well, because there was a few issues that meant you'd obviously registered as a player, so you could go out there and play. So when did you find out there was a chance you'd be on the bench or you'd be playing?
I think the gaffer phoned me on the Friday night because I'm not in the squad a lot. I normally do a little training session by myself Saturday morning before I go to the game. And he just said, warned me don't do anything because there's a chance you could be on the bench tomorrow. We've got a few issues with a couple of the players. So, yeah, just don't do anything and just be prepared.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, then he told me Saturday morning to just let me know that I was on the bench. So, yeah.
Considering all the football you play, were you a bit of nerves or not?
No, funnily enough, it's probably like one of the few games I've never been, not what I wasn't nervous for. I was because I knew it was probably one, maybe my first and maybe my last league appearance, just to go out and enjoy it. So whatever happened.
Great stuff. And when did you, what stage of last season did you think we can do something here? This is a really good squad of players, because you did have a really good squad of players, supplemented by a couple of very good loans as well. What stage did you think we can do this?
I think quite early on. I can't remember the game, but I was warming up with one of the subs, and I just turned to him and I said, we've got a really, really good squad this year. Because of the strength of depth that we had, players will come in, there was an injury, it'll be exactly the same standard. You wouldn't notice that there's a player missing. But quite early on, I'd say probably, six, seven games in, I thought, yeah, we've really got a good chance of going up this year.
And have you noticed any difference in level since you've gone up to League Two? Is some people say that the conference and the National League is so hard, so difficult, that when you go up, it's you do feel like you're still on a similar level?
I think we've had a few of the games we had early on against Forest Green and Salford were pretty difficult games, especially Salford, where they kept the ball really, really well. Even Stevenage as well, keep the ball really, really well. And I think that's probably a little bit more different to the few games that we've had. Teams are a little less direct and more a little bit of possession based. That's the difference. But there weren't really that much frightening players that we've had so far. So there's not any players that we thought, he's a major level above. It's just mainly probably the style of play,
yeah,
I would say.
So when the moment came to come on, what was that like when he said, you go and get warmed up, Craig? I mean, when you knew you were coming after all these years to play league football?
Yeah. I think he looked at me at the 70th minute mark and I was like, oh, that's a little bit too early for me. but yeah, when he said, yeah, it's time. Yeah, I just go for my routine. The routine's been the same. A few strides, down the side, a couple stretches. And then, yeah, I'm just good to go. Yeah, I was just a bit excited. I mean, I don't know if you see the picture, but you see me smiling as I've run onto the pitch.
Mm.
But yeah, I was just really, really like happy and overjoyed, really.
And again, a nice reception from the Sutton fans. Of course, they'll know your story, won't they?
Yeah, yeah, they've always been there. I mean, when I first signed for the club, we was what, bottom of the Conference South. We had like, virtually no chance of getting out of it, but we still had travelling support and they're always cheering on away games like, at some really like bad ground, you could say. But yeah, they was always there and they've kind of been through it with me all the way through my like, my journey because I've been there for like, 12 years I've been there, so they followed me through the journey, and I think some of them would take a lot of pride as well with me just getting on the pitch as well.
Great stuff. And how do you you've had back to back wins, so you must be doing something right. The first two wins in the Football League for Sutton and beat Hartlepool on Tuesday night, so is that getting used to the level or just everybody's a bit more relaxed now?
Yeah, I mean it's always difficult start of the season getting your first win no matter what league you're in, especially but when you're going up it's a little bit more tougher, but once you get it you feel like you're more part of the league and you do believe that now you can get wins. But yeah, the games we've played, our level of performance has been there. It's just getting over the line. Obviously against Oldham you can see the late goal, Forest Green late goal as well, Salford we could have won the game on chances even though it was a tough game. So, yeah, just knowing that we can get over the line now just makes a massive difference. Mm.
And finally, Craig, you got a taste for it. You're hoping to get some more opportunities. You're going to be in training, getting in front of the manager.
Yeah, always. Well, I told him yesterday I've got 100% record since I've been on the pitch. So if he needs more wins, then I'm here. But, yeah, I train every day with the lads. I'm keeping up as much as I can. When I start to fall too far behind, then, yeah, I'll think about calling it a day, but yeah, definitely giving it to the end of the season. I'm there to help the team, yeah. which is my main.
Yeah, it's a goal next. You want you scored 109 goals for the club, so a goal, a league goal, would be the icing on the cake, smashing. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, Kitman's on to me all the time to round it off. So yeah, I'll need to get the one goal just for him, really. 110 will be a good way to finish.
Brilliant. Good to talk to you, Craig. All the best. Stuff. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
There we are, Craig Dundas there of Sutton United. The man who finally got his chance to play league football for the club.
Talisman, they haven't lost, Paul. They're up to 15th now.
They're doing all right.
I see pushing for promotion. League
this
one
year,
next.
It's all about survival, isn't it?
That's what they say.
So you would say this year you just got to stay up and consolidate and start to build. But it's a great story, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I'm obviously absolutely thrilled for them, Paul.
Well, it's not like...
Do I not sound it? Is it not... Well, I mean, not coming across in my voice.
Well, I mean, obviously, they were the outright winners of the league. I mean,
you occupied
that top spot talking for quite some time, didn't you?
10 points clear at Christmas, Paul. Yeah, sure.
You're using a slightly different approach this year. You're not sitting at the top of the table this year. And
this year, Torquay have decided we're going to leave it late.
Yeah.
It's going to be a late run.
I've sensed that.
That's what we've been trying to do this year.
Yours and the producer's face every Monday that you've decided to leave
it. We're going
to
be fine. In Gary we trust.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is a good one, Paul. It's anonymous. I went to my first Works Xmas do. After overdoing it, I left with my boss, who was also a bit worse for wear. After he nearly got arrested for weeing in a London street, we ended up top and tailing it in a hotel room. Luckily, he left before I woke up. The cleaners got a shock when they walked on me upside down and on top of the covers. And never looked at each other in the eye ever again.
Yeah, I wonder how that relationship fared afterwards at work. Have you got something on the gaffer at that point or not? I don't know.
Who knows?
This is because, in case you weren't listening in the first hour, that Charlie's got a gig at the Comedy Store tonight. He's comparing. And a number of the TalkSport management team are using it as a team bonding session.
Nerve-wracking, isn't it?
And
can't they just build a raft?
Yeah, that'd be better,
like wouldn't it? Doing those Outward Bounds days or something, you know?
That's right.
Come and watch me struggling through 20 minutes.
They've chosen to come and watch you. So we wondered about you meeting the gaffer outside of work. Steve says, I was supposed to be in work on a Saturday morning, was still out on an all-nighter in Manchester at a club. I went outside, phoned my boss and was saying to him, I'm ill. But he was outside the club. He stumbled out of it just as I was making the call. He says, that's not great, is it?
Oh, dear, no good at all. No.
So do keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. This is probably quite a common one. John says, I was in the pub once and saw my head teacher with a few of the other teachers.
Yeah.
They were walking out. I was sitting with some older lads having pints. We looked at each other and they nodded. We nodded and said nothing. I was 17 and had school the next day. So, but yes, so keep those.
I used to have a PE teacher who'd bring in the odd little bottle of something to share around us.
What, in the class?
On a Friday afternoon. We had PE Friday afternoons.
Being a Friday afternoon doesn't make it all right, Charlie.
But like after a match, or after a football match or something, he'd stop at the pub on the way back.
It's like a Mike Bubbins story.
Yeah, it's true though. Or like on the way back from a football match, he'd either get angry with us and drop us off early in some country lane somewhere, or we'd stop at the pub for a quick pint on the way back. Is that no good, Paul? Is that not allowed?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, probably not. Times have changed. Not officially.
Is that on Ofsted anymore?
Yeah.
Is that...
I think, yeah, I mean, I think probably people of my generation could tell all sorts of appalling stories of teachers sort of taking liberties along those lines.
Yeah.
But you probably couldn't get away with that now, could you?
I don't think so.
The other thing was Cristiano Ronaldo has been kept awake by sheep in his current mansion on the outskirts of Manchester. But Charlie's upset because he's moved to the countryside and, you know, believe it or not, sheep make a lot of noise.
What does he expect, Paul?
Yeah.
What does he expect?
So they're keeping the kids awake, so he's moved. He's moving to somewhere where there are no sheep. But we're interested about the things that kept you awake at night, if you want to share those with the class. We'll say, within reason. TalkSport.com, text 81089.
Camping's always that way.
Tweet
that.
TSHNJ.
If you go camping, Paul, people seem to forget that all that's between you and them is just like a bit of cloth.
Yeah, that's
you
very
know,
true.
You can hear 100% what is going on in someone else's tent.
You can sometimes see the silhouettes, can't you? Which is all a bit worrying, isn't
great
it?
Great band.
Yeah, that's
great band from the 60s.
That would be a good name. There must have been. I'm going to look it up.
I cannot believe
there's not been a band. Let's just phone Danny Kelly. Call James Brown.
Must have been a band called the Silhouettes.
There must have been a band called the Silhouettes. The Silhouettes were an American doo-wop R&B group.
There we are.
Whose single, Get a Job, was a
get
number
a job.
One.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Get a job.
So you should have. Yeah.
Management will be singing to me tonight.
19
after the gig.
See, that's good, Charlie.
I'm warming up
already. I can tell you're warming up. But why don't you say to me, where are you from, mate? What do you do? Well, I'm sitting next to you. You must know what I do. Do what revives the Silhouettes.
Fantastic.
Sound good, yeah. It was just too good a name. And the Silhouettes look just as you'd imagine they'd look. Look, there they are. Fantastic in their pomp with these shirts.
Yeah.
The shirts on the long collared shirts on the outside of white suits and a lot of medallions. Looking the part, the boys there, fantastic.
Very, so very good.
Yeah,
you need more medallions. You look good in a medallion.
You like bring the medallion back.
You could be an open neck shirt sort of guy.
No,
big medallion.
That's not me.
I'd like to see that look. You could. Good at the moment.
Yeah.
I've never had a hairy chest. I'd love a hairy chest.
Do you have a stage outfit? Do you? I mean, I don't mean like Elvis.
You're looking at it.
You look a white rhinestone jumpsuit.
I went through a very big period of my career where I just wore this one cardigan on stage.
What, nothing else?
I had this cardigan and it had these pockets in it that were funny pockets for some reason.
So would you draw like...
I'd pull them out.
Handkerchiefs.
I'd pull them out, you know. But it stank by about... It started to sort of walk to gigs by itself and I could never find the same cardigan. So.
Were you looking from the start calling you Charlie Cardigan Baker or something like that?
You know, the cardigan guy. And then I realised, if you're writing your act around a cardigan, it's probably time to write something else.
What was it about the cardigan barring the two pockets?
It had funny pockets, Paul.
What were funny about them?
I could do rude jokes.
It let you do one joke, didn't it? It let you do one joke about a well-known animal, didn't it?
Wasn't the elephant joke?
You do
Paul.
That one, didn't
no,
you?
No, no, no.
Okay.
It didn't. No.
So what? Yeah.
The pockets were quite low down, and if you pulled them out, it was a blue cardigan and it had pink pockets.
Okay.
And I said, it's like an. Look, I'm not going to go.
No,
into
don't.
It, Paul.
Don't.
We'll get taken
let's
off
move
air.
On. Let's move on. Let's.
It's not sport based, Paul.
You're not on stage.
Why are you? You're asking me.
You're not on stage for 6.5 hours.
You're asking me.
I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to tell me. That's all.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. A little bit later on in this hour, Josh Widdicombe, comedian, Last Leg co-host, and author now.
Yes.
Plymouth Argyle fan. His book is called Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life. Part memoir, part 90s TV nostalgia.
Ooh, lovely stuff.
We'll throw a few into the mix. If there's a few shows you want to bring up and we'll put them to Josh, just tell us about the 90s TV shows that shaped you.
I see they're bringing back Games Master, Paul. Did you ever watch that?
What?
Hello, Games Master. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Hello, Game. I can't find the silver vase. Ah, quite simple, really.
Yeah. Well, that's in the book. Josh was probably...
Is it? It's in there,
that was
it?
Probably Josh you were doing,
oh,
getting in touch. Anyway, he'll be with us later on. Before that, though, we've got the little matter of the birthday spread.
Wow.
A little bit earlier than usual.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty straightforward game. Andy Jacobs has compiled 10 birthdays. He's possibly lost the list, but he has compiled 10 birthdays and gags attached to each
Fantastic.
One of them. And it's the job of myself and Charlie to guess the ages of the people who've celebrated their birthdays this week. Now, of course, we won't get them all right. We'll get some of them wrong.
And speak
we'll
for yourself.
We'll be a few years out. And that will be our margin of error, effectively. So it's the person who is closest after 10 birthdays, who has the shortest margin of error,
yeah,
who is the winner. Charlie, what are we, 2-1?
I think it was 3-2 or 2-1.
We have an official score.
Jeff will tell us in a minute, yeah.
Let's say first hello to Andy Jacobs. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, boys. I did find the list.
You're coming from the toilet? You sound like your mum's.
I know. John said I sound a bit echoey, but I'm just in the normal place with the normal equipment, so I can't account for
it. Yeah, it is broadcasting. It just sounds like he's coming from a tunnel. I think when that's happened before, you've logged out and logged in again. Maybe we'll try that at half time. But anyway.
We've already tried that once, but we can try it again if you want.
Okay, it's making you sound quiet.
Well, I quite like that myself.
I'm Anne Bond.
It's really good. It's a bit Bob Harris, really great music there from Blackberry Smoke.
Little feet. Anyway, so back in the nerve centre after last week on the baggage carousel at Birmingham Airport, it is our old mate Jeff Peters. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, it's good to hear that. Phone
back. I never thought I'd say that.
We've missed that for a while.
Yeah,
it's great to be back and not worrying about going through customs as I was last week. Back-to-back wins for Paul. So Paul leads Charlie 3-2.
Okay, right.
Max worries about his legacy in this game. He wants me to start putting together quite a run.
What doesn't Max worry about?
Yeah, that's true. He's got better things to worry about, really. But anyway.
I'm getting some sleep.
Do I need to kick off orders? Can you tell us, Jeff? Should I start as I won last week? I never quite work out who should start.
I don't think. I'll check through the birthday spread rules handbook at some point. But I think winner goes first.
Winner goes first. Okay. Off we go then. Here's our old mate Pele, who's on the mend, which is great news.
Okay, great news.
10 birthdays.
Okay. A contemporary of Pele, great footballer and manager. Der Kaiser, Franz Beckenbauer. He's just gone into the Bulgarian fast food business.
Is he really?
With former TalkSport newsreader Liz Saul. It's great. You must try the Franz Balkenburger.
You've really got to know your old clips, haven't you? You've got to know your old clips.
I mean, we only play it every year about four times a year.
You've heard a Christmas show.
I think people know what it is.
Okay, then, well, I'm going to have a guess at Der Kaiser, Franz Beckenbauer. What would he be now? He's got to be about 77, I'm going to go for, Charlie.
Yeah, I was around that time. I'm going to say 79.
76.
Oh, so Jeff, a decent start for both of us. But it was Franz Beckenbauer. So what's the scores, Jeff?
Yeah, Paul, you are one out. Charlie is three out, so it's 3-1.
3-1. Okay. So, Charlie, you will go next trombones. As we alternate, of course. Yes.
Yes, it's birthday number two. Friend of the show and football commentator, Martin Tyler.
Oh, Martin, good man.
Yes. And I was helping Martin with some rewiring at his house. And I was nearly electrocuted when I forgot to turn off the mains. Martin said, "It's dangerous and it's live."
It's live.
Did anyone spot that one coming?
I saw it coming a bit. It came over the hill.
As soon as you got your toolbox out.
Now, he's older than you think, isn't he? He's old because, Martin's still active. He's still coaching.
He's evergreen, isn't he?
So I'm going to say 77.
He's around that. 76.
He is, in fact, 76.
Same age as Beckenbauer.
Happy birthday to Martin.
Yeah, not quite the same day, but, you know, these birthdays are from the week.
From the week. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff? I stay on one, I guess, because I've got that absolutely right.
You do a direct hit. Charlie is one out, so he moves on to four, so it's 1-4.
There we are. I'll be getting the hang of this.
Okay. Birthday number three, the fine actor from The King's Speech and the Bridget Jones films, Colin Firth.
Okay.
I lived in Chiswick for now. We used to work together in the mail room at Chiswick Post Office. It never got old when I used to say to him, Firth, pass the post.
That was good. That was very good.
Excellent.
I was expecting the Firth of Forth or something like that, but no, there he is. Firth, pass the post.
Firth, pass the post. It's me, isn't it? Colin Firth. He's probably a bit older than he looks. 58.
I think he's in his 50s, yeah. 56.
61.
Wow.
He does look a bit younger than he is.
He certainly does.
Goodness me. Yeah.
So, Paul, you were three out. Charlie, five out. So it's Paul four, Charlie nine.
Wow.
Charlie nine. Okay. So there's very little in it.
Up for grabs, isn't
Charlie will go first for this birthday.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, very happy birthday. Birthday number four, David Clayton Thomas, the musician from and lead singer of Blood, Sweat and Tears. Of course, he wrote Spinning Wheel. David Clayton Thomas.
Spinning Wheel, Charlie? Let him do his gag.
It's true. It's an experiment. He took the band into the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
With a famous English survivalist. And they ended up forming a new supergroup. Blood, Sweat and Ray Mears.
Blimey. Blood, Sweat and Mears.
Spinning Wheel.
Could have been an old Chelsea ownership gag you could have done there. Blood, Sweat and Mears, didn't you?
Yeah, so I'll show my workings out, shall I? Shall I just show your workings out?
Would you?
So just Spinning Wheel, sort of early 70s, isn't it?
Yeah.
People are normally pop stars in their 20s.
Do you want to give us a quick refrain of the song?
It's a Spinning Wheel. Doo-doo-doo.
Goes up.
Must come down.
Everybody, it's a ridiculous song. It's a song that you need a medallion on to sing.
Get to do the
That's it, in the pub style.
Maybe he was a bit older. I'm going to say 82.
Yeah, I'd say he's got to be about that. 84.
He's 80. Good working out.
He's 80. So, yes, what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, the gap has closed slightly. Some really good low scoring in these opening four rounds. Yeah. So, Paul, you're four out. Charlie, two out. So it's now Paul, eight. Charlie, 11.
Wow, well, we're going to half-time very shortly. Just time for one more birthday before we do that. Andy, is this one we know or not?
No, it's one you don't know. These are all now. I think maybe there's one more that you may well know. But, this one is Louise de Mambro. Louise de Mambro. She's a barrister, register of the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, the Privy Council. That's two jobs. And she's also got another three. When the fifth one came in, it was de Mambro number five.
Yes, I thought you were going to say that. There we go. I thought she might play centre half for the team. That was what I thought you were
going with.
Yeah,
that's also possible.
What's her job again, Andy? Sorry, say her job again.
She's a barrister and registrar of the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom and of the Privy Council.
Okay, I'll go first.
Is it Paul first?
61.
Yeah, I was thinking Louise. Louise is quite a youngish name, isn't it? 65.
68.
Oh, well, I think Charlie may have gone in the lead. Let's get that confirmed.
Yes, Paul, you're seven out. Charlie, three out. So it's at the halfway stage. It's Paul, 15. Charlie, 14.
What about that? So as we head into halftime, four and orange. Cup of tea.
Lovely.
We find ourselves... There's just one between us.
And
you think there might be one more we know, Andy, of the ones you're going to get?
Yeah, one more you know.
I think there's probably three more, but anyway, that's...
Andy, Jonathan Turner's asked, Andy, if you're under the stairs looking for your jokes.
It does sound like you're in a little cupboard.
Like Harry Potter.
There's a touch of the Brightons about it. I don't know. Why is that? I wonder... I remember, like, yeah, we'll have a look in the break, because I remember the, when we were broadcasting from home during the virus, you came out like this one day, and then I think it was a reboot situation, and it all worked out. I think it's one of your settings, Andy.
Hello, tech support.
I think it's your bit rate. I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about.
I think it sounds like you're on the microphone of your computer and not your actual microphone. Yeah.
So just give those all a try while we bring you these messages in the travel, and we'll be back for the second half of the birthday spread very shortly. And don't forget Josh Widdicombe with us at 3:30.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Basically, for the last 5 minutes, Charlie and I have been singing Spinning Wheel by Blood, Sweat and Tears.
Yeah, it's
and we've been playing different versions.
Straight into the set.
Yeah, it's great. You can open. We can open with that tonight.
Yeah.
Can you open with that tonight? Wouldn't that wow the TalkSport management who are coming to see you at the store?
They'd love that.
Just to say, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Baker, what? Goals, that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Big band.
I was going to open with the Selco advert. Keep them on side.
Anyway, it's the birthday spread. 10 birthdays. We're halfway through. It's a very tight competition. So far, cumulatively, I've been 15 years out as I've guessed the 5 birthdays of people who've celebrated their birthdays this week. Charlie just 14, so he leads by 1 because it's the smallest margin, which is the winner. So, Charlie, you're going to be leading off for the 6th birthday. Andy, have we got you on a better line now?
Yes, I believe we have.
What was it, Andy? Can you tell us for all the tech?
I was on the wrong mic setting.
Worked out by Jamie, our assistant producer.
I think it was John, really.
Was it? Okay. Well, it was John, I thought. Oh, okay. Well, it was John. There's a shot.
Goes up, must come down.
As such as your settings.
Exactly, yeah.
So, here we go then, Charlie. Here's Pele.
Okay.
Okay, this is a musician from Chicago with his big hit, If You Leave Me Now, another one for you to sing after this. Peter Cetera. And I knew his brother Edwin, actually. He had a very strange habit of always telling you his name 3 times. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I think it's
Cetera,
isn't it? Yeah, it's Cetera.
Don't tell him that.
Jeff.
I worked it out after I wrote the joke. I thought, I'm still leaving it in. It's too good.
Leave it in. Yeah. That's you, Charlie.
Yeah.
If you leave me now.
Chicago. 74.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good guess. 76.
77 was a good game.
It's nip and tuck.
It's swinging one way and then another. So Paul, 1 out. Charlie, 3 out. Paul back in the lead. 16-17.
What a game. Back to me for the first one. Who's next, Andy?
Okay, well, I think you'll definitely know him, you two musos. It's the jazz guitarist, Barelli Legrand. And he used to be known for his ability to play for hours on end. But to be fair, these days, Barelli tires.
Oh, very good.
Pretty good.
Yes.
That is pretty good. Yeah.
I like how you bailed out of it as you were saying it.
Yeah. Halfway through the joke. Oh, no.
I thought it was going to be a joke about Burton Stadium.
This again.
I don't think he's that old. What is he?
Barelli Legrand.
59, I'm going to go with. What do you think, Charlie?
63.
Ooh, 55.
Could be a turning point. A gap opens up.
No, not much of one. Jeff, what's that done to the scores?
Paul, you're 4 out. Charlie, 8 out. Paul, 20. Charlie, 25. 5 in it, 3 to go.
Come on, Baker.
Very, very little in it, Charlie.
Okay.
Yes.
It's the Labour MP for Hampstead and Kilburn, the Shadow Education Minister, Tulip Sadiq.
Yes.
And he's an absolutely massive fan of Ajax. He never misses a game, home or away. There's a huge shrine to Johan Cruyff. You'd have thought tulips from Amsterdam.
Yeah. It's fine, but it's a woman, Andy. Yes. Not a man.
She, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
How am I to know that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Charlie, Tulip Sadiq.
I'm going to say 41.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yes, I'd go a very similar age. 40.
39.
This is the kind of quality that Max aspires to.
Yeah.
Paul, you're 1 out. Charlie is 2 out. So it's 21, place 27. And I was once at a party with Tulip Sadiq and the Australian writer Marie Tulip. and the Bollywood actress Tulip Joshi and a couple of former footballers, Bill Tulip and Jock. Come on, Jeff, commit to it.
Yeah. And, you started
all,
it.
So we were at this party and they all crashed out on the lounge floor.
Did they?
And when
it's
really not worth it. And when I was leaving the next morning, I had to get past them, but I didn't want to wake them. Yes, I had to tiptoe through the tulips.
Okay. Oh, we got there in the end, didn't we? We got there in the end. It was a long road.
That was awful. Sorry.
It was a long road, but we got there in the end.
Not as easy as it looks, is it, Jeff?
Yes, I know this section's safe if I ever move on.
Yes, okay. So, Andy, it's me next. 21 plays 27.
Okay, it's the film composer Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah.
And I played in a charity match with Hans, actually, and we were very unlucky in extra time when Zimmer struck the frame of the goal. he could have walked it in.
Yes, he got some Zimmer-based material there. Hans Zimmer, at 83. Yeah, you think he's younger?
I don't know. He's been around a long time. Do you know he wrote the theme tune for Going for Gold? Do you know that?
Did he really?
The old 90s. We'll talk to Josh about that later on. Hans Zimmer wrote theme tune for Going for Gold.
That's good knowledge.
Yeah, okay. What did you say, 83?
183,
I think I thought he was late 70s.
But well, go for it,
John. I'm going to go up. 86.
Oh, what a mistake. He's 64.
Oh, no. Hans, if you're listening, do apologise. We're 20 years on him. Well, Charlie,
we could have gone with a Hands, Knees and Bumpsy Daisy.
We could have gone.
You need Hands, Max Bygraves. You could have gone there.
You could. And you went down the Zimmer route, really. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, the scoring was really low until that point. Paul, 19 out. Charlie, 22 out. So it's Paul, 40. Charlie, 49. 9 points in it. One to go.
And I go first because it's the last one and, you know, we don't want S-housery going on, so I will kick us off on this one, giving Charlie a chance to react and potentially steal the game on the last
birthday. 9 points.
Who is it, Andy?
Okay, it's another composer, Arvo Pärt. P-A-umlaut with the A-R-T. Arvo Pärt. And unlike many musicians, it doesn't take much to get him drunk. They call him Arvo Shandy.
Arvo Shandy.
He's anybody's.
Arvo Pärt.
He just ran out of... So,
I'd love to hit the jokes that didn't make it to that.
Viscount John Thurso.
He has 15 and 5 don't make it.
I do.
So this is
John Thurso, Jack Starkey, Isabel Colgate. They all didn't make Jack Maher. These all could have been in there. Wow. Probably wish I had
Colgate. I'm amazed. Colgate.
That would have been
Route one. The Colgate. You know.
So okay, Charlie. I haven't got a clue. Arvo Pärt.
Arvo Pärt.
I'm going to go first. I'm working out. I think he must be old. 92. So, Charlie, I'm let you in.
I need to make up 9 points. 10 points. So, you said 92 of you, Paul. Okay, I'll go 82.
Here we go. Andy, how old? Build the suspense.
Arvo Pärt is 86.
Oh, right in the middle.
Close.
Well, you did well, Paul. You didn't let me in at all, did you?
Yes. Well, there we are.
Another defeat. So
bring us the final scores. Jeff Peters in the nerve centre.
Yeah, Paul 6 out. Charlie 4 out on that one, but not enough. Paul finishes on 46. Charlie on 53. Paul wins for the third match in a row and takes a 4-2 lead over Charlie. And I can hear the cheers from down under. As
you
Max
certainly
is
can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somewhere in his little flat in Sydney, he'll be punching the air, won't he?
Furious about it.
So there we are. We'll do it all again next week. Andy, you're back with me tomorrow.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're gonna Dion Dublin's joining us tomorrow. Ooh, by the way, did
good.
You know that?
Very nice.
I'm telling him what's in the show tomorrow. Yeah, Dion will be here. Okay. We'll have a birthday. No, we'll have a birthday. We'll have clips of the week.
Lovely.
We'll have clips of the week. Martin Kelman. I have to remind him what's on. So I'll see you then, Andy. Thank you. There's Andy Jacobs. And Jeff, thank you. Great to have you back
Jeff.
In the Nerve Centre. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Speak to you soon, bye, boys.
There we are. Our official score.
I feel like I'm never going to win again, Paul.
Oh, you can't. Look, that was close. Anything could have happened.
It's close. Anything could have happened.
Don't get downhearted. I had enough of that.
It's all very well when you're winning, isn't it? He's always, come on. Keep it nice. Keep it nice when you're winning.
You're going the same way as him. What is it about this game that gets under people's skin, eh?
Do you think Andy had lost those jokes, or do you think Sue had taken them and in them?
I think she burnt them. So there we are. Josh Widdicombe with us very shortly. We chat about his new book, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby. Charlie Baker here on Talk Sports. Josh Widdicombe's new book is called Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life, a kind of memoir through 90s yeah. TV.
As I said earlier, a memoir without being a memoir, so he can bring out his memoir a bit further down the line, yeah. Tell two books for price of one. It's That's a good, worse. Very good business decision.
Great marketing yes. idea. Yeah. Good afternoon, yeah. Josh.
Hello. What I realised is I just haven't got enough for a memoir.
Oh, right.
To weave in television. Yeah. Half memoir. I've got half a memoir and half a load of stuff about TV.
No, so
you
really
were a
good.
Big TV watcher, obviously, as a kid.
Yeah, I think in the 90s we all were. I think I wanted to write about growing up in the 90s because I'm kind of obsessed with it as a decade and a time. Mm. And there's books written about the music or the politics or the sport. But really, I just felt like the way to tell it was through television because that was the thing that was most central to our lives.
Mm.
You know, you had this situation where definitely maybe sold 2 million copies. How do they do that? Was watched by 12 million people every week. That was the world we were living in.
Yeah.
And it was the last decade where TV was central to it. So basically it's a book about me growing up in the middle of nowhere in Devon in the 90s. And each chapter tells that story by starting off with a different TV show.
Mm.
Very clever.
Yes. You talk about, in fact, it was sport. We are going to come back to sport now and again, of course, being talk sport. And that's not difficult in the book because...
There's a lot of sport there.
Well, there is a lot of sport there. And, you know, sport got you your first big telly, wasn't it? Italia 90.
Yeah.
So your dad just rocked up one day with a big telly.
It was the Italia 90s. Obviously it changed football, but it changed my life as much. Because that was what got me into football. I had the Orbis sticker album with the in the folder. That was kind of the most iconic kind of sticker album there's ever been. And it got me into football, it got me into sport.
Mm.
And so it's almost like that was the starting point of the 90s, really, for me and for a lot of people. And then it got me into football, and then there was no football on TV because I didn't have Sky for the next 10 years. So I was basically lumbered watching kind of Transworld Sport. And
well, that was good, though.
It was good. Yeah. It was all good. Yeah. So, do you know what? I was at a wedding on Thursday, and the man that did the voiceover from Transworld Sport was there.
Fantastic.
And did you recognise the voice first? Or did I was
tipped off, and I spent most of the wedding trying to identify who it was. And then when I identified him, I was so excited that I think he thought I was being sarcastic, but I wasn't.
Off to the Belgian Petanque League now. Yeah. And it's called Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, and... Neighbours, it was on twice a day, and I like one of the
still is,
one
really?
Of the things in the book that you do point out is that how absolutely mad that is.
It was a strange world we lived in where we took as read that BBC One, the main of only four channels, thought Neighbours was so important it would repeat it within 4 hours.
Like, it was massive. It was massive.
Yeah, it was the only show apart from the news that was on twice a day. It was huge. So I think you had 19.5 million watch Scott and Charlie's wedding. It was a defining kind of programme for anyone of my age. Mm. And you had to have watched it to be able to have friends at school, really. There was one kid whose parents were a bit too cool to have a TV, and he was a social pariah.
You say you grew up rurally, Josh. I know where you grew up.
Yeah.
It's very rural.
It's very rural.
Very much in the middle of nowhere.
We consider where you grew up, Charlie, to be a metropolis.
Exactly, yeah. The big city of Newton Abbot.
The smoke. Yeah.
And do you think watching TV like that was an escape from that for you and gave you an idea of what you wanted to do in the future, because that was the dream?
I didn't consciously think I want to do this in the future, but I did obviously obsess about it, and it felt like an untouchable world in a way. It felt like there was literally, if you drew a Venn diagram of what was going on Gladiators and what was going on in my life, there's nothing that's crossing over. Do you know what I mean? And so like a lot of people had Gladiators who would come to their school. Mm. We didn't even have any of that. There's no.
Some of the Gladiators, it's quite good they didn't come to your school.
Do you know, my friend had a Gladiator come to his school. And they all turned up and they said, Cobra's coming in today. And then Cobra came in and they did 3 hours of gym with Cobra. And then he said, all write your names down and your address. And they all wrote their name and address down. 3 days later, they all got a letter and they'd signed up to a NatWest current account.
Fantastic. How marketing worked in the 90s. Somebody in a marketing department at a bank has written that down. Get Gladiator in. Great number. Yeah. Also, you were watching this a lot of this early TV in the 90s with a TV with a massive crack in it. So,
yeah, my dad dropped the TV on the way in, yeah.
Which is, I suppose, you said you kind of got used to it. It became part of your viewing experience, didn't it? You just got used to watching it with a big crack down the TV.
It was perfect for judging offside. It was VAR before VAR. But, you know, my phone's currently got a massive crack down. Oh, and okay. You get used to it very quickly, yeah. Don't you? It was just a kind of a rudimentary version of that, yeah.
There are some wonderful pictures in the book, and one that Charlie and I both noticed straight away was a prize. Maybe this gives us an insight into why TV was such an escape and very glamorous, because it's you, Joshua Widdicombe, 8, showing off his prize-winning vegetable insect.
Yes.
This is a picture of it.
What are you in there? The Express and Echo or the Mid-Devon Advertiser?
It was in the Mid-Devon Advertiser.
£100 or under in the back?
The Mid-Devon Advertiser, So that was the Elsington Parish Flower Show. I don't know if you ever attended that, Charlie.
And what veg is it? It's a potato. What other vegetables are in?
It's gooseberry legs.
Okay.
A smaller potato head, 2 runner bean ends as the ears, and blueberry eyes.
Nice. It still stands up today, doesn't it?
It's good.
But the worst thing was it was made by my dad, and then I won.
Oh, really?
And then I ended up in the papers. It was like a very early kind
cheated.
Of...
Yeah. You should return that reward.
Yeah.
I should return that reward.
I wonder who finished second.
Is this why you had to leave Devon?
Imagine the person who finished second is listening today.
Oh, my.
And he's furious. Going to come and hunt you down like a dog.
There's no justice, is it?
Paul couldn't believe it earlier when I was telling him. I've got a similar picture to that when I'd won Tramp Day.
Well, exactly. That's what I said. I thought you meant like tramping through the fields. It was like rambling.
Cubs. But apparently, all the cubs in the district would dress up as tramps. Are we allowed to say tramps still? But tramps. Get dressed up as tramps.
Quoting it from the past.
Yes, and the best tramp. One.
This was in Newton Abbot.
Yeah, this was in Chudley, though, so you know you can explain that.
Whose idea was it to have
the scouts?
Scouts.
Be prepared.
Tramps.
Be prepared for what your future is. Let's not beat around the bush. It was a strange place to grow up. Like my school, which had 4 people in my year, and then we had 2 teachers. We had a secretary. She was only in 3 days a week. Mm. So on Thursday or Friday, if you phoned the school, we'd have to answer it.
It's like Sir Alex answering at the training ground, isn't it? It's the last thing you expect with your kids. That's amazing. You couldn't watch football, but you found sport, and one of them was kabaddi. Channel 4, of course, corner of the market in these alternative sports, like sumo and like kabaddi.
Kabaddi, which, if you haven't watched it, it's basically tag, 2 teams tagging, and to show that you were holding your breath, you'd keep saying kabaddi. And it was styled as the biggest sport in India, but it seems to be played in front of 30 people.
And isn't that cricket?
If you didn't include cricket, it was definitely the biggest. Yeah.
And like the main team is called West Bengal Police, and you're like, I'm not sure that's not Manchester United.
Do you
want
a kabaddi off, Josh?
I'm asthmatic. I can't.
And is that what held you back in your kabaddi career?
Exactly. Otherwise, I'd be out there now playing for West Bengal Police.
Do you remember playing it in the playground? Did any of these actually transfer?
I don't know if we played. I think we did play kabaddi, We didn't play sumo.
No, we did
play kabaddi.
That's asking a lot. You say you never got into the soaps, Joshua, apart from Neighbours.
Apart from Neighbours.
But you tried, you say in the book, you tried El Dorado.
El Dorado was quite a, obviously, basically my gran was a retired actress with all that kind of, as you imagine her, right?
And, there's a lovely picture of her in her pomp as an actress, which is kind of as you'd think, very posed shot.
Exactly,
the 50s,
she was a kind of old thesp. Yeah. And and her friend was in El Dorado, and this was, I don't know if you remember, this was the biggest TV show the BBC had ever launched.
It
was going to save the license fee because, unbelievably, the license fee was under threat. Can you imagine such a thing? and then it was probably the biggest disaster of all time. Like, it was a soap where they hadn't finished building the town it was meant to be in, so they'd stopped the diggers to film a scene. Because they were trying to sell it to Europe, they put in European families who would then speak unsubtitled in their native tongue. So you'd have like a scene in Danish. So like, aside from Peter Schmeichel and Jan Molby, there's no one in the country that can enjoy the soap. Like, But
like Trans World Sport.
Exactly.
Or Euro Trash.
Euro Trash, which was popular, but for a very different reason. Euro
Very clever, my dad used to say that. Very clever, Euro Trash.
What,
Euro
is that what he used to say? Yeah.
So he stayed up late for the nuance.
Yeah. Very clever, this program.
Yeah. You go to bed, Charlie. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow. Danny and the Cambridge fans of Josh show. Do you remember Funhouse? Chaos, but what a show. Was that one that was on the radar?
It was a big thing in my childhood, Funhouse, obviously. It had the slowest go-karts that you've ever seen in your life. Like, the Fun Kart Grand Prix seemed to go about 3 miles an hour. I interviewed Pat Sharp recently, and he was one of the nicest men I've ever met. And he said, like, they'd film the whole of Funhouse in a week. So, like, they just go up to Glasgow and just knock them all out in a week. Yeah. And so he's only ever in his life spent 4 weeks filming Funhouse. And it's, like, defined his life.
Wow. Well, Josh Widdicombe is with us. We're chatting about his new book, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life. If you've got any memories of 90s TV, do share them with the class. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. We'll chat more. The TV gets better as we go through the book. But we will be telling you more about that very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Josh Widdicombe with us in the studio. We're chatting about his new book, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life.
Scott, the Leeds fan, asks if Albion Market is in the book. Do you remember Albion Market?
Albion Market is... Well, you'll have to read it to find out, Scott.
Yeah.
It's not, no.
It's not. Okay. Well,
I hope in that pause he did order it from Amazon. Like, yeah.
It wasn't just a West Country thing. Wayne in London says, I remember Tramp Day from Scouts... It doesn't seem great of the Scouts. Shouldn't they should be out helping tramps, not impersonating them?
What direction did the interview go? It wasn't how I expected on TalkSport.
Fancy dress competition to represent the best tramp. It just feels a bit dark these days to be doing something like that. Wayne, thank you. Now, so much of the TV kind of fed into other interests, and you talk about that. Games Master, Charlie mentioned a little bit earlier on.
Quite simple, really.
Yeah, I loved Games.
Getting you into a world
of
games.
Games Master.
I adored, because I kind of view 90s as the golden age of computer games, really, because it was when they broke. They broke in the 80s, but in the 90s they came into the home with the Mega Drive and the SNES. And I had a Commodore 64. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Did
you have a Commodore 64 as well? Which was launched in 1982, the year before I was born, which gives you an idea of kind of how far behind I was. Yeah, it was a great time for computer games because they were all so simple. When you were just, you're an egg on an island trying to solve problems or something. And now, I mean, I sound like, I don't mind sounding like an old person. I think they've got too complicated. Yeah. I don't want an emotional journey from a computer game. I want to jump from platform to platform. And I think computer games just in the 90s was, the 90s was a great time for so many things. Sport, music. You know, television, but computer games was another thing that felt just, you felt lucky to be there, really.
We had a game for Commodore 64 called Castle of Terror. We could never finish it. Really? It was one of those go north, drink mead, turn left sort of games. Never ever finish it. I looked it up recently, Googled it. You couldn't finish it.
Messing with kids' heads.
There was a glitch in it. You couldn't finish it.
It's a Commodore 64 taught you patience, because you load up a game on a tape and you'd have to sit there for 15 minutes. Yeah. And if you wanted to change to a different game, you had to go, is it worth 15 minutes of just sitting staring?
Syntax error in code 102. Yeah.
We have touched on some of the reasons why you watch so much TV, because it wasn't a great deal to do. And maybe to kind of reinforce that is you telling a story that you had a school trip. Now, most school trips, you might go to the zoo, you might go to the theatre. At your school, you went to the Newton Abbott branch of B&Q.
It is a good one.
It is a good one. Is it still
Charlie?
There?
Can I don't you back know. That up? Has it got a big gardening department? A
lot of retired men working there.
It was under the guise of learning about the retail industry.
Okay.
But I was thinking about it, and I at no point remember having a talk from a member of staff or... or any reference to us being there, and we had our lunch in the car park. And I now think we just turned up at B&Q.
The teacher wanted to buy something.
Yeah, she bought a spirit level, and we all went home.
I've run out of undercoat. We'll do a school trip.
Yeah, dear me.
Yeah, it was a strange place to grow up, really.
Well, it was. But you've got loads of stuff going on now, of course. Josh, yes. You got your 90s football podcast, Quickly Kevin Willie Scorn. Of course, Paul, he won't say it, but he was at the forefront of 90s football with 90 Minutes and all those things. Drove all that on.
Editing that all those years ago. Did you used to pick up 90 Minutes now and again?
I loved 90 Minutes. I loved it. I describe it as the thinking man's shoot.
Yeah, well, I take that. I think that's maybe, that was very much our mission statement. Yeah.
One of the reasons why I genuinely like went then they were like promo, I was like, I want to do Hawksby and Jacobs because that is people that were there in these things. And it turned out I got someone who was there and someone who was in Devon with me.
What a shame.
But I loved 90 Minutes and I loved all that kind of, it was a great time for to be a football fan because it was that perfect moment when money was coming in, but it hadn't professionalised yet. It was the meeting of money and the amateurism in the 80s and the money of the 2000s coming together. And it was the best era for kind of football, really.
That early to mid-90s, certainly. And yes, a football match in the book, of course, you talk about the Euro 96 semi-finals as a big moment for you.
The book was, we nailed down the chapter and the deadline was a week before the final of the Euros. And I was saying to the editor weeks in advance, like, you know, we might have to rewrite this when we win the Euros. And then, to be honest, we didn't have to rewrite it. That was obviously, Euro 96 really is the defining summer of the decade. To be honest, it's the defining summer of my childhood and many childhoods, I think. And what was weird revisiting it was I imagine it as this long, hot, amazing summer when it was glorious and England was in love with the game, we were going to win the Euros. And then you actually go back through it and you go, okay, the tournament was 3 weeks. the last 4 days of it, we'd already lost, so they were awful. We drew the first game and then we didn't play for another week and that was awful because we all thought we were going to go out in the... So basically, it was 11 days, Euro 96. That long, hot summer Euro 96 was 11 days.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
They've got this mythical idea that was the greatest summer of our lives, which I buy into 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people have been suggesting. So, TJ Hooker and Chips. This is. I actually became a policeman when I grew up. This is Robert off the back of the TV show.
I think they're a bit more 80. Were they a bit more
80s? I think they might be a bit more 80s. Yeah.
Chips, yeah. Bodger and Badger. That's
Neil
in Plymouth.
It was wonderful.
You kick off with Gus Honeybun, which I'm not really of that era, but that's obviously quite important to you.
You're not of the era, Paul, or of the locality where you'd be able to see Gus Honeybun.
So Gus Honeybun was... What I've decided to do is open the book with the most impenetrable chapter of all to really get rid of the part-timers.
We'll flush them out.
Yeah, flush them. But I talked about Gus Honeybun as a way of example of how mad growing up in the West Country was. He was a puppet rabbit. And I'll be honest, this is the first interview I've done where I'm doing it confident that someone interviewing me knows what I'm talking about. He was a puppet rabbit who was a bad puppet. It was basically a rabbit on a stick. And a person stood next to them. And they'd read out a birthday card. And however old the kid was, the rabbit would hop up and down.
Wow.
And there'd be a background that would be changed by Gus Honeybun hitting a magic mushroom. Right, which was... And this was... No denying it. He was a superstar in the West Coast.
Massive.
It was
absolutely
huge.
Massive.
He had his own bus in Torquay that was covered in pictures of carrots. He released a single.
Yep.
He was he had a ride at Flambard's theme park.
The ultimate accolade.
Wow. The ultimate accolade.
But he never moved. He never had a life beyond the West Country. He never broke out.
I didn't realise that. Yeah. So I'd get to uni and I'd mention Gus Honeybun and people were like, what are you talking about?
And you expect to see him on the Oscars and stuff like that. Well, do you think,
and of course, Gus Honeybun.
Yeah. I thought him and Ed the Duck were hanging out in the Met bar.
I like it you said Flambard's, like people would know that.
It's a good word, Flambard's.
But I used to have Flambard's triple theme park. It's a wonderful day. Hey. Three fabulous attractions for the price of one.
Which is never a good sign.
You're trying to get the gig now, are you? Is it still there?
I don't know if it's still.
It had one of those adverts where the main selling point is which junction it's off on the road.
Well, look, who's
just
been in
touch? The A38.
Neil says, don't keep Josh for too long as they've got tickets to see him in Worthing tonight.
So, it's all right, Neil. I'm walking to London, Victoria. I've got to get the 4:49. I'll be totally fine.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we wish you well with the book, Josh.
Thank you
to
so
see
much
you.
For having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Josh Widdicombe's book, Watching Neighbours Twice a Day, How 90s TV Almost Prepared Me for Life, is available now in hardback. And it is published by, you can tell me it was published by...
It's Blink Publishing.
Blink Publishing, oh, yeah, you'll find it, Amazon, etc., etc. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Paul.
I'll see you on
Tuesday. And I'm back Saturday morning with Max.
You are with Max. And you have a new quiz with Max.
New quiz,
you?
Time Difference, which is great fun. And also Autobiography Wars semi-finals, Diego Maradona v Elton John.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
Lovely. Back on Saturday morning, I am.
Brilliant.
Paul with Max, live from Australia.
Yeah.
And we've got Time Difference, our new game. And we've got Autobiography Wars, the semi-final, which is Diego Maradona versus Elton John.
Sensational.
And then back with you next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. And Andy with me tomorrow. If you can listen in from one, great. If not, podcast available at around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every week. Day between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.